Thank you, Janine. She told me before the service that she's been nervous all summer about this. And she said, I'm not a performer. Well, good. We want a performance. We can go to Merriweather, the Post, or Wolf Trap, right? What we need is someone to worship and to lead us into worship, and that's what she did. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. We appreciate you leading us in worship in that way. And now you can enjoy the rest of your summer, all right? Until you agree to do this again, and then you wonder, why did I do that, right? So this morning I want to talk to you about brokenness, about getting past the brokenness in our lives. And so to get us into that, I want us to look at a story of a woman that Jesus had encountered, who had experienced a lot of brokenness in her life, and I want to look at Jesus' response to her. And so the story is found in John chapter 4. It's a very familiar story if you've been in church for a while, and most of us have. So we're going to take a look at John chapter 4, verses 5 through 29. So Scripture says, so he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? You greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. And no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking to her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? We all have brokenness in our lives. And we need to know how to deal with it, how to get past the brokenness in our lives. In past weeks, we've talked about how to get past our insecurity and past our guilt, and last week, past the pride that allows us that keeps us from seeking help. But how do we deal with brokenness? The first thing we have to do is just accept the fact that brokenness is a part of life. It's not an anomaly. It is a part of life. Acceptance of that is the very first thing, and it's not like act like it's unnatural. Do y'all understand how a guitar works? Let me show you. I brought my guitar. And The way a guitar works, of course, in a simple way, is you pluck a string and it vibrates. And then the vibrations of the string are transferred to what we call the top or the soundboard, and it causes this to vibrate. You can't see it, but it's vibrating at the same frequency as the strings. And then the vibration of this top causes the air inside the guitar to vibrate. And those vibrations come out of the sound hole right here and disturb the air, and those vibrations of the air enter into our ear and disturb the hairs in there, you know, and all that kind of stuff, okay? But it starts with the strings exciting or vibrating this piece of wood here. So you have to have a piece of wood that's easy to vibrate. So we don't use hardwood when we make guitars. We use generally a soft wood, either cedar or spruce. Cedar is very, very soft. We joke that if you just look at cedar wrong, it'll dent or get a scratch. Spruce is the same way. But you can't have a thick piece of wood, right? So this piece of spruce here is less than an inch thick. It's about that thick. You see that? All right. No, you can't. That's the whole point, right? So it's really, really, really thin wood. Well, the only problem is it's got these strings attached to it. You know, strings go through the wood and attach on the bottom. And those strings are actually pulling up on this top. In fact, they're pulling up with a force of about 150 pounds. All right. Let me keep this. 150 pounds is what they're trying to do, is pull up. So a guitar is wanting to do two things. The first thing a guitar wants to do is explode. This top, just on the force of these strings, just wants to break up into a bunch of pieces. And so we've got to find a way to counteract that breaking up, because a guitar that breaks up doesn't sound very good, right? So we brace the inside of this top. I think we have a picture of some guitar braces. So you see that there's some pieces of spruce that are thick, and we've put them in there. And you see there, and right under the sound hole where they cross, and then there's that brown piece of wood that goes across. That's the strongest part. So we're trying to strengthen it enough so that it won't explode from the 150 pounds of strength on from the steel strings, but leave enough of especially this area where it'll still get those good vibrations going. All right. So right in this area, we've got a lot of wood strengthening this area. We've got this black piece called the bridge, and then we've got the brown piece that you see under there, and those cross braces, trying to keep this thing from exploding, because that's what it naturally wants to do. The other thing that a guitar naturally wants to do is you've got strings pulling here and strings pulling here. So this guitar wants to become a banana. You understand that, right? It wants to fold up into itself. And if that were to happen, if it were to fold up, obviously the strings would raise up too much. Now here's the thing about a guitar. We've tried to do a number of different things to keep the guitar from becoming a banana. You have a piece of mahogany that's cut just right and it's nice and strong. There's actually a metal rod that goes through the middle of it, trying to keep it. But here's one thing that we know about a guitar. We know that over the course of time, that eventually that neck is going to pull up. It's going to want to become like a banana. So just like water dripping on a rock doesn't look like it does much, but over the course of time, right, that water is going to wear that rock down. Over the course of time, that neck is going to very, very slightly come forward. And if you try to, we could wish that it would never have to happen, because when that happens, you've got to take the neck off and you've got to sand underneath it, and it's a big pain, it's very expensive and stuff. But you have to know, going in, when you buy a guitar, if the guitar sounds good, that eventually that neck is going to raise up, and you're not going to be able to play it, and so you're going to have to do something to fix that. And you just have to accept that up front, that you've got all these forces working on a guitar that at some point are going to require some kind of a fix in order to make the guitar really work. So just as this natural tendency of the wood is for this to happen, to counter that we don't want to happen, we have to accept that brokenness is going to come into our lives. Now, sometimes the brokenness that comes is self-inflicted. It's stuff that we do to ourselves. And that's natural also, right? We can't all make 100% perfect decisions about our lives. And we're quite good at not making 100% perfect decisions about our lives. So sometimes that stuff is self-inflicted. Now, in this story with the Samaritan woman, the standard interpretation of her is that she's a tramp, right? She's been married 5 times. She's been married, divorced, and now she's shacking up with the guy who's not her husband. That's the standard interpretation. And I preached on this a couple of years ago, and I challenged that interpretation. If that interpretation is true, then the brokenness that is in her life is self-inflicted brokenness. And so we get that. We get that happens to us. But like I said, I challenge that interpretation because in biblical days, it was actually very rare that a woman could divorce. Men had the right to write a bill of divorce, but women did not. So one of two things has happened in her life that she has had 5 different husbands, all right? Either 5 different men have married her and then put her away, gotten rid of her, used her up, didn't want her anymore, or she's been a widow. She suffered the loss of a husband that many times. And so she's seen as damaged goods. When Jesus says the man you're living with is not your husband, it's probably not so much that she's living in adultery as it is that nobody wants her. And a woman in that culture without the protection of a man is in a precarious position. So some man has kind of taken her into his household in order to give her the sustenance and protection that she's needed, but he won't marry her. So sometimes the brokenness that comes into our lives is not brokenness that we do to ourselves. It's brokenness that comes to us. But regardless, it always happens. When we go through life, we're going to experience brokenness in our lives. So the first thing that you have to do when you encounter brokenness is just to understand this is the way that it is. And you can shoot yourself to death. It shouldn't be this way. It should be some other way. But you have to accept that this is a natural part of living. So what do you do then? Well, the next thing that you do is you have to plan for the brokenness rather than merely try to protect yourself from the brokenness. See, there's a way, actually, that we could build a guitar in which the neck would never need to be reset and the top would never explode. We could make the top very thick. We could put all kind of bracing in here, really, really thick bracing. We could put all kind of metal rods in the neck. And so it would be the strongest guitar, and it would last for 500 years. There are 500-year violins out there, right? You ever seen a 500-year guitar? No, because guitar was invented like in the 1800s, so you're never going to. But you're never going to see one anyway, because here's the thing. If you build a guitar that's strong enough to last for 500 years, it's going to sound terrible. It's not going to be musical. It's not going to be loud. And it's going to be hard to play. And no one's going to want to play it. So you could protect yourself from all these bad things happening, but then you don't have a guitar that's worth anything. And the same way with brokenness. Oftentimes when we experience brokenness, it's like, wow, this hurts. I don't want to ever do this again. And then we withdraw into a circle of protection to try to keep ourselves from going through that brokenness. This is what this woman at the well has done. She's there by herself. Drawing water in cultures like that is a communal thing. The women all came together. But she's by herself. She's come at noon. She's come, right, at the height of the day, when it's hot. Most of the time the women, they would gather together, and they would go early in the morning while it was still cool to gather the water that they needed for the rest of the day. And it was a habit. She, on purpose, has avoided that. She wants to avoid the scorn. She wants to avoid the looks. She wants to avoid the people ignoring her and not talking to her. She wants to avoid being in a crowd of people and being utterly alone. She figures, if I'm going to be utterly alone, I might as well be by myself when I'm alone. So she's protected herself. But she's also cut herself off from life. She's cut herself off from living. She's cut herself off from community. She's protected herself, but she's not living her life. And that's why when Jesus starts talking about living water and a spring, that she gets very excited. She gets very interested and wants to hear what he has to say. So there's a way to protect yourself from being broken. And that's to limit your contact with people. Because relationships are messy, aren't they? Relationships are hard and they are messy. And marriage is hard, right? No matter how long you've been married, 5 years, it's tough. 5-year mark's tough. 10 years, it's tough. 20 years. I've spoken with people who have been married for 50, 60 years. And they'll tell me about the struggles they are still having in their marriages. Marriage relationships are just tough. So you can protect yourself by limiting your contact with people, or you can protect yourself by never trying anything risky or anything adventurous, just playing it safe all of your life. But what kind of life then are you living? So rather than seeking to protect yourself from the brokenness, you need to plan for the brokenness. Have a plan in place. That's what guitar makers have learned to do with this whole banana thing that a guitar does. In the old days, guitars were made, the neck was joined to the body with what we call a dovetail joint. I've got a picture of that. So you see that? So it's a mechanical joint, and the neck slides in there. But then they also reinforce it by gluing it together as well. And so whenever a neck needs to be reset, it's a process, because you've not only got this joint in there, but you've got all this glue. And so in order to do a neck reset when it's been done like that, you've got to take out this fret, you've got to drill a little hole, and you've got to insert a tube, and you've got to put some hot steam water into there, because it's the heat that releases the glue. And then you've got to work it out, and then you've got to clean the glue up and sand it down and glue it back and everything. And it's a pain, and it'll cost you a few hundred dollars. So what guitar makers have started to do is to move to a different kind of joint that doesn't use any kind of glue. So the next picture is a different kind of joint. That's a tenon, so it still slides into the top of the guitar, but you see it's got bolts. And so whenever you need to do a neck reset, you don't have all this glue. You don't have to do that steaming and stuff like that. You reach in there with an Allen wrench. You undo the bolts. You gotta unglue this part, but that's actually fairly easy. And then the neck will just slide right off. You can sand it to the right angle and put it back in and bolt it back with an Allen bolt. And it's done, well, not just like that, but it's done a whole lot easier and a whole lot quicker. In other words, guitar makers, in the way that they make guitars, are planning for the brokenness that they know is going to come. And they've got a plan for how to deal with that brokenness. And the same thing has to be true in our lives. You know, if you get a broken arm, you already know what you're going to do, right? You get a broken arm, you're going to go to the doctor. You're going to go to the emergency room first, and you're going to go to the doctor, and you know up front. Well, what's your plan when there's brokenness in your relationships? What's your plan when there's brokenness in your marriage? What are you going to do then? I tell every couple that I marry, all right, first of all, you're going to go to counseling before you get married. And then I want you to take that person's card and keep it close by because you're going to need the counseling throughout. And Pam and I have done hours and hours and hours of marriage counseling because we want to fix the brokenness. We want to deal with the brokenness. So don't be afraid of that. There's something about counseling that people are like, they don't like to do. It's like admitting that there's something wrong with you. Admitting that there's something wrong with your marriage. Well, like I said up front, yes, there is, right? We don't marry carbon copies of each other. And if we did, we probably wouldn't like each other even more, right? So you've got to have a plan in place. So with relationships, counseling is important. But I tell you another thing that's vitally important in your plan. It's got to be community. It's got to be community. That's one reason why here in most churches we emphasize not just being a part of our worshiping community, but being a part of our Bible study community, our small group community. People who know you, who know about your brokenness, and are friends with you anyway. And it's that community that gives us a context in which we can heal ourselves. So you accept that there's going to be brokenness in your life. You have a plan to deal with it, not just to insulate yourself from it, but to actually deal with it when it comes. And then the last thing I want to say, and this is perhaps one of the most important things, is to understand that God moves towards brokenness and not away from brokenness. This is who our God is. When we experience brokenness in our lives, even when it's self-inflicted, even when it's sinful brokenness, stuff that we knew we shouldn't have done and we did it anyway, our tendency is to think that God doesn't want to have anything to do with us. That God wants to judge us. He wants to condemn us. He wants to punish us. Or that God will withdraw from us when it's just the opposite. Let me show you a picture of an old guitar. You see that? I don't know if you can see that, but it's got two holes, right? It's got the hole that's supposed to be there, and it's got the hole underneath that, right? And that is just, I mean, it's been written on. It's got scratches. Pretty much all of the varnish, the finish, has been rubbed off of that. I mean, that is an ugly guitar. Would you want that guitar? Yeah, you know whose guitar that is? That's Willie Nelson's guitar. See? Willie Nelson bought that guitar. I've got another picture. Let's show this picture of Willie Nelson. There's Willie Nelson when the guitar is new. Heck, there's Willie Nelson when Willie was new, right? I mean, so he bought that guitar like 40 years ago. And he had a new bridge put on it. And that's the only guitar that he ever plays. Next picture. All right, there's Willie with the guitar that's old and Willie that's old, right? Willie bought that guitar in the 50s for like maybe $700, which in the 50s was not an inconsiderable amount of money. How much do you think that guitar is worth right now? Yeah. The Martin Guitar Company made that guitar originally, and then they discontinued it. And then when Willie Nelson became, you know, Willie Nelson, a few years ago, they reissued the exact same model with only one hole. You know, they sell that guitar for $5,500. Willie will not take any money for that guitar. See, he looks at that broken. In fact, every year he sends it to a luthier, and they work on it. I saw a video of a guy just the other day. Fixing some cracks and stuff like that. They're not allowed to fix the hole, all right? They braced around the hole so it doesn't get worse, but they're not allowed to fix the hole. They're not allowed to put new varnish on, you know, because he's got some impressive names that have signed that. See, the what we would consider brokenness in a guitar to Willie makes that guitar even more valuable. To Willie, that guitar is absolutely priceless. And that's how God sees each and every one of us. God loves you, not in spite of your brokenness, but in many ways, because of your brokenness. Because you have become even more precious to Him. You may feel like you're worn out, but to God you're worn in. See? And the brokenness has put you in a place where you're more prayerful, you're more humble, you're more open to God using you, and more grateful when He does. So we accept that brokenness is a part of our lives. We plan to deal with it rather than ignore it. And then we accept that this actually makes us more valuable, more useful in the kingdom of God. Because God loves us and values us that much. Let's pray together. God, thank you for loving us the way Willie Nelson loves his guitar trigger. You see every scar, you see every worn out part, the holes that are part of us, and they don't make you ashamed. Because now you see a person who's broken in and is even more useful in your kingdom than before. Because all the pride's been beaten out. And the humility has come to the fore and resonates with sweetness. And the gratitude of not being pushed aside, not thrown in the scrap heap for a newer model, but being loved and embraced and valued so much that you gave your Son for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a love that doesn't merely look past the brokenness, but sees it and embraces it. We thank you for the healing that comes and for the lessons that are learned. And we pray, Father, that each of us, like the woman at the well, would embrace the one who embraced her as we commit our hearts and our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn